Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
We all have doubts about things. At times, the enemy can use these doubts to slow us down in our walk with God. Can you imagine the doubts that Christians living during the Great Tribulation would have? God's goodness is greater than our doubt, so trust in Him today. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 15 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 8.
And His blood must be applied by faith to each and every heart of each and every man or woman here today if you expect to be spared the wrath of God. They sing the song of the Lamb, most commonly believed to be the one recorded in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. And both of these songs, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, the responses of grateful hearts who are celebrating God's gracious and merciful deliverance, what does it require to become a worshiper of God? It doesn't take a band. It doesn't take a spiritual cheerleader. All you need to do is get saved. Get saved and you will be a worshiper of God. It's not like we wait to walk into these four walls and then we start singing because the band plays. No, we worship in the car. We worship, everywhere. We have been redeemed. We have reason to worship this morning, beloved. Amen. We have worship to praise the Lord. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God for that. That's all you need. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Amen. Just be saved. Notice the words in this song. Powerful. They speak of how the fact that God is omnipotent. He's immutable. He's sovereign. He's perfect. He's creator. He's judge. He's holy. My, oh my. They're extolling the character of God. And as you extol the character of God, you can't just stand there. You must worship. You must. If you've been regenerated, you will. If you haven't been, you won't. And if you don't, get regenerated. It's that simple. It's like my oldest grandson tells me, Grandpa, it's not rocket science. Look at what they are speaking of. God's works, God's ways, God's worthiness. And as they extol the name of God, that's a recipe for worship. When the Spirit of God makes the truth of who God is real in the depth of your being, deep inside the core of your being, you're going to worship. You will be a worshiper. And notice it's all about Him. You alone, your name, your ways, your works. It's all about Him. You know, when we get to heaven, we are going to be obsessed with our King. I suggest that we ask God to give us that divine obsession now. There's a prophecy in heaven. All nations shall come and worship before you. Once again, the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, speaking of the kingdom age, tells us in chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, that it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem for to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, notice, even upon them shall be no rain. Interesting. Please note that God will not pour out His rain upon the people who refuse to go up to Jerusalem and worship the King during the kingdom reign. Without rainfall, there's barrenness. Without rain, you're dry. And likewise, God does not demand that we come here to worship Him. He doesn't demand that we come here to listen to His word, but I have learned in almost 30 years of ministry now that when people have a hit and miss attitude towards gathering together with God's people to praise His name and to hear His word, they get spiritually dry. This is a key part of walking and growing in the things of the Lord. It's a key part. Gathering together in the name of the Lord to praise Him, to worship Him, to hear His word, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Oh, another thing about these verses 3 and 4, they kind of jumped off the pages this week. Again, who is singing this song? As I previously said, the ones singing this song are the ones that had been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when you do a little bit of biblical investigation, we find that in chapter 7, verse 14 of the Revelation, that they suffered hunger and thirst for their faith in Christ. We know from Revelation chapter 13 that because they refused to bow down to the image of the beast and receive his mark, they could not buy or sell anything. We also know that one of the methods of martyrdom during the tribulation period is that they would be beheaded. Now, put all of those pieces together. Here they are, transported up to heaven. And isn't it interesting that you don't hear it written or recorded anything like this? Quote, "If you love us, Jesus, and we love you, then why did we have to go through what we went through?" They did not say, "Why did you allow us to go hungry and thirsty?" They did not say, "Why didn't you stop the beast and his followers from beheading us?" They don't say that. Have you ever said, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. Have you ever said, "Do you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God some questions?" Change your theology. You're not going to ask him anything. First of all, you and I are going to be grateful that we're there to begin with. Notice that here in heaven, in the presence of God, there's no questions, there's no complaints. It's not like you go to heaven and have a complaint department. All right, while the rest of the people are worshiping and praising God, those of you with complaints in alphabetical order, remember, just like who you call if something happens over this weekend, in alphabetical order, okay, beginning with the letter, no, those who, there's not a murmuring section. Why do I say these things? Certainly not to beat you over the head. But life is such that sometimes we're thrown these proverbial curveballs, knuckleballs, or like the clay that's on the potter's wheel. We are spun sovereignly and circumstantially, and we often, God, what is going on? You ever been there? What is going on? And what happens is that when those things happen, the devil wants to step in like he is your best friend. Well, if God loved you, Raymond, if he really loved you. Guys, when you and I are going through the proverbial pits of despairs in this life and are tempted to question the love or goodness of God, remember a couple of things. The lyrics of the song in this heavenly scene, and most importantly, whenever you are tempted to doubt the love of God, look at the cross. There is no higher expression of God's love. We're all going to go to heaven with mysteries and questions until we get there. Then there will be none. John then in verse 5 looks and beholds the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The Bible seems to indicate by this passage and many others that there is a literal temple in heaven. In fact, Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 9 reveals that the earthly tabernacle was a copy of the heavenly one. The earthly tabernacle that God commanded Moses to build was to be patterned after the heavenly temple that included all of the various courts. Jesus, our great high priest, did not enter into the earthly tabernacle built by hands, but he entered into the heavenly place to offer his blood as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. But here is another beautiful picture for you and I to consider. Please note that the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened after it is recorded that these saints worshiped and praised the Lord God Almighty. I really believe that many times God opens our hearts and our minds to the reality of his mercy and love and greatness and sovereignty as we worship him. Something happens when the people of God worship him. In fact, going back to the previous point about being dry, if you're feeling dry today, or if you're feeling dry at any time, let's say you're driving down the road and you're just having one of those dry spells, pull off to the side of the road, put on the four-way flashers and begin praising God. You say, isn't that going to look crazy? I've seen people pull off to the side of the road and do some crazy things. I've seen people pull off to the side of the road talking to their tires, kicking their bumpers. And just to say, put your flashers on now. Just say a sheriff or a trooper comes by. I go, what are you doing? Well, officer, I'm a little dry, and I just felt like I wanted to pull over to the side of the road and begin worshiping the Lord. Would you like to join me? It works. It really works. It really works. As you and I praise God and extol his name and magnify his name, It's as if heaven is opened and he shows you his beauty and his glory. And even though there may be things going on presently, when you and I get a glimpse of the beauty and the glory of God, our hearts are encouraged, our hearts are comforted. See, that's our destiny. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Don't think you can pray anti-tribulation prayers. Now, don't confuse the persecution of Satan with the wrath of God. Two different things. As a Christian, a devout Christian, you're gonna be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. You're not going to fit in. If you are a born-again Christian trying to fit in with the world, repent. You can't do it. You can't. Now, by saying it, I'm not saying be rude, obnoxious, holier than thou. No, Jesus spent time with publicans and sinners and the likes of me. But you can be there, and you and I need to be there in a way that is not compromising as salt and as light. Worship. You know, when we get to glory, there will be no more Bible studies, no more conferences, just worship. And I say that, I ask for forgiveness, just worship. That's it. Worship. You know, and I know that sometimes us preachers can get a little long-winded. Well, others can. I don't. Reminds me of a story that I heard of a mom that had her 7-year-old boy in the sanctuary, and this 7-year-old boy was a little bit active. And so she told her son, she says, "Honey, I'm going to tell the pastor." Well, actually, she told the boy this. She says, "Listen, if you don't stop distracting the pastor, he's going to have to start all over." And there was never a problem again. Yeah, we can get a little long-winded. And for that, I'm thankful for your grace. When we get to heaven, it's going to be one long, continuous worship service, beholding his glory. And Ephesians 1 says that his brightness and greatness is going to shine brighter and brighter the longer that we are there. And so we read here, now beginning in verse 6, the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. They come directly from heaven. They come directly from the presence and the throne of God. Notice, these angels do not act on their own. They are acting by the commands given to them from God. This is God's wrath. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. This speaks of the eternal nature of God. Eternity. I even have a hard time just grasping the word. You and I are born into this world. We have a birth certificate. We drive by cemeteries that has dates. I can't imagine eternity. Think about it. That if this universe were to just cease to exist, God is there. It was there before it existed. Doesn't that blow your mind the way to think about that? How big he is and how small we are? How great he is? And how ungreat? What's the opposite word? I have a thesaurus or something up here. I don't know. How little we are? Eternity. He is the eternal God. The eternal God who rules and reigns. In the temple, verse 8, was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from the power of his holiness. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And the cloud of glory fills the temple in heaven. No one can enter. When the power of God is revealed in heaven, no one can enter. It was the same when Moses could not enter the tabernacle, when the smoke of the cloud of God's glory, oftentimes referred to as the Shekinah, filled the tent. Again, we read that in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35. Last couple of weeks, we've been taking an in-depth look at the holiness of God. And I really believe that what the church needs today is a fresh revelation of the holiness and the glory of God. I really believe that. I know that that is what Koinonia Fellowship needs. A fresh revelation of the holiness and the glory of God. It's not enough to theologically perfectly agree with the truth of the holiness and glory of God, though we should. I'm talking about experiencing the holiness and God and the glory of God. That's a life changer, isn't it? When you and I experience the holiness and glory of God, it is a life changer. And you know, when it really hits home, you know how it manifests itself? It manifests itself this way. When the sin that you most despise, that most disturbs you, is the sin in your own heart and life and mind. That's what you see. That's what happens when you see the holiness and glory of God. And yet, that is the Spirit of God who reveals those things to you, not to push you away, but to bring you to His Son, Jesus. You see, because when the Spirit of God shows you and me what we really are, we know that we need a mediator. We know that we need a redeemer. And thus, when you and I confess, not explain away, our sinful condition and our need for God's mercy, He then, through the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ, purges us of our sin and then commissions us to be His witnesses. You and I, as born-again believers, have been divinely saved, sovereignly redeemed, to be witnesses of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a beautiful privilege, but that's an awesome challenge, isn't it? I want to close with a few comments. You see, as we've covered the last couple of weeks, because God is holy, God cannot overlook sin. If He did, if God overlooked sin, it would be violating His justice. It would be violating His holiness. And thus, sin must be punished. The wages of sin, or the payment of sin, is death. And that is why Jesus had to die on the cross. Because the payment of sin required the shedding of innocent blood. My blood, your blood, our blood is polluted with a sin nature. There had to be the coming of a sinless, spotless, pure man, fully God. And that man who was fully God was Jesus. It was necessary to punish sin. And the only way in which God could be both merciful to sinners and maintain His holiness and justice was for Him to punish our sin in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. By God's grace and faith in the sinless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have the opportunity and the means today to come to God and to be made right before Him. But let me add this. If anyone persists in rejecting God's grace through Christ, then you, my friend, will suffer eternally God's wrath. That's what the Bible says. Two recent heresies that have been a scourge to the church. One claiming that anybody knows the exact day or hour when Jesus will return. Second, the recent proclamation that there is no hell. There is a hell. There is a wrath. And all who reject God's Son inevitably, by choice, go there. Why is it that we find it so easy to justify ourselves in the sight of God? We do. The great revivalist Jonathan Edwards wrote these words: almost every natural man that hears of hell flatters himself that he shall escape it. He depends upon himself for his own security. He flatters himself in what he has done, in what he is now doing, or what he intends to do. Everyone lays out matters in his own minds how he shall avoid damnation, and flatters himself that he contrives well for himself and that his schemes will not fail. In other words, if I do my best, if I try my hardest, if I'm a good person, certainly God's got to let me into heaven. Do good, and do good we must. But doing good does not atone for your sin. The wages of sin is death. Is that you this morning? Have you truly understood that the gospel of the grace of God is the only remedy for your sin? And that your only hope of escaping eternal wrath is by placing faith in Jesus Christ? John, in the Gospel of John, said in chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, even though the context of chapter 15 this morning is centered on God's wrath, the message of the gospel means good news. Let's not forget that. And let's not forget that it's the goodness of God that leads you and me to repentance. However, let's not forget that the consequence of rejecting the goodness of God, rejecting the love of God and the grace of God, is His wrath. There's no other way to say it. That's what the Bible teaches. But when you come to Christ from your heart, God gives you full assurance of faith. In fact, that phrase, full assurance, is found three times in the New Testament. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Every one of you here today has a gospel. It's something that you believe about heaven and about how people get there. What's your gospel? Who's your gospel? Is your gospel try good, be better? Well, we all believe in the same God. We call him by different names. Listen, I know what my name is, and God knows what his name is. And there's only one way to get there. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. People say, well, what about Muhammad? What about Buddha? What about Krishna? Hey, I'm going to believe the guy that rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And thus, this morning, as we close, may we ask God to show us congregationally, reveal to us His glory, His holiness, His beauty, His splendor. See, because we're headed into turbulent waters, my friends. Things are not going to get better and better. Things are going to get worse and worse. How we need to keep our eyes on Christ. How we need to be rooted in God's Word. How we need to make much of our God and little of ourselves. The time is short, but Jesus is coming. And today is the day of salvation. And I urge you today, if you have never done such a thing as ask Christ to be the Lord of your life, you would do that today. Ask God through His Son to save you. He's the Savior. That's why He came. He came to seek sinners. And my friend, this may not sound like very refined English, but I is one and so are you. You qualify. Come to Christ. Trust Christ this morning. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless His holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.